You live for planning the perfect trip. The thrill of comparing hotels, scoring that impossible reservation, and piecing together an unforgettable itinerary. You already think like a travel advisor, so why not just be one? Fora is a modern travel agency built for people who love to plan vacations and help others travel well. As a Fora advisor, you'll be set up for success with best-in-class training, powerful booking tools, and a vibrant global community of experts sharing real insider tips. Fora helps you turn your love of planning vacations into a business with a flexible, meaningful stream of income, with commission on every hotel, cruise, and activity you book. And with access to more than 7,000 preferred partners, you'll unlock VIP perks like upgrades, resort credits, and late checkout, giving you and your clients the kind of elevated travel experiences regular travelers simply don't get. Getting started is as easy as booking trips for people you already know. Become a Fora advisor today at foratravel.com/earn. That's foratravel.com/earn.
Hey everyone, welcome to Outside of Work, where we explore who we truly are beyond our job titles. I am trying my best to soak in as much summer as I can. I don't know what it is, but every time summer comes around, it just wants to zip on by like it's got someplace else to be. No, ma'am, chill out. Like, let us enjoy this warmth for like much longer before we basically have 9 more months of winter, of coldness, of just, But I'm enjoying it so much right now, just trying to soak it all in for the little time that we clearly have. Enjoying life, enjoying everything that summer and life has to bring with it, really made me want to share this post that I saw on LinkedIn this week. It's from a user who says that after getting laid off in March 2023, he realized that he has found actual work-life balance. Like, I really want to hit him up and be like, sir, how? What did you do? But let me read his post for you so that you can see what I'm talking about. Okay, the post goes, I disappeared from LinkedIn after being let go in March 2023. Here's everything I've accomplished since. Love a list. Grew closer to my family and friends. Prioritized my overall well-being. Recorded new music. 1 million plus streams this year alone. Okay, let's go. Started playing tennis, my first sport, LOL. Traveled the country and abroad. Love a traveler. Learned the piece is just as productive as hustle. Okay? He goes on to say, have I worked since? Thankfully. Because we all know with how this job market is, man. It is hard out here. And work sucks for some people. And it's a lot. But we need to pay these bills somehow. So he says, thankfully. I've had the privilege of leading incredible social campaigns for brands like Prime Video, Radio, Paramount Plus, and HBO Max. Do I struggle with the pressure of grind culture? Absolutely. But I'm no longer letting my work define me because the value of my life isn't determined by the hours I clock in. And let's keep it real. I can't take a viral post with me when this is all over. Say that again for the people in the back, okay? You cannot take that viral post with you. So, like a caveman discovering fire, did I discover work-life balance? Finally. And if you're learning to slow down, redefine success, or just breathe a little deeper because just existing takes energy, trust me, you're not alone. I cannot agree more with every single word that he posted. The grind hustle culture, I hope though we're almost done with it. I mean, at least Gen Z shows me that they are over that. They said, what? You want me to do what? For how much pay? Get on my face. And also just the pure fact that the grind hustle culture just has us on this wheel, just perpetually going, trying to achieve success, achieve this notion of, I don't know what it is. And does it ever stop? And so sometimes it takes something as cataclysmic, at least for some people, as getting laid off to finally be like, something needs to change. I know for me, that was the case, given Outside of Work podcast. And for him, it was too. Did you hear what he did? He was able to start music, like doing music that has more than 1 million listeners. That's amazing. He got it to tap into his creative side that he probably didn't have time for. And so now, you know, with work and everything, it seems like he's been able to find that balance. I know I feel as if it's ever elusive. I feel as if I'm still trying to learn it and figure out how the heck I can even have a work-life balance. But those are the things he prioritized. Like we've talked about on this show for so much. He prioritizes family, his friends, the things that bring him joy, like making music, playing tennis, you know? The things in life that really matter, because at the end of the day, like he said, you can't take that viral post with you. You can't take that work reward with you. You can't take that bonus with you. Although that bonus might help you go like on a vacation or something. So might be good. And so ultimately, it's just about enjoying life. And I love that post so much. And I just had to share it with you guys. Now, in today's episode, I speak with someone who is leaning in, all in to discovering who he is in a very creative space, in a very open space. I spoke with Trayvon Jones, who's a scientist who works in an analytical lab. He coordinates lab testing. He tells me that he hates that job. Rather, he doesn't find as much fulfillment in it as maybe he thought he would. And he's really started leaning into his creative side with his podcast, Open Your Eyes and Realize. He describes the podcast as something to uplift, empower, and inspire people to become their greatest selves. He really talks about taking risks. Talk about a risk. He's brand new to the creative space. Recording, interviewing, you know, putting things together. Coming from me, who's been in this space for so long, this is simple for me. You know, I just gotta set it up. Da, da, da. I know the words, I know the terminologies. And for him, he's just now finally learning this. Now, I met Trayvon when a friend who owns the basement studio that he uses asked if I was open to edit. Listen, we just talked about hustle culture. I do a little editing on the side, you know what I mean, for a little cast and some change. That's my little hustle sometimes. And so when he introduced me to Trayvon, I said, sure, let's see if this will work out. And you know how sometimes life is just kind of kismet. Like there are those people who are placed in front of you for a reason. And I feel like Trayvon is that person. We have so many similarities in this podcast recording, from the way that we view life, about really leaning into the joy of it, about really prioritizing our family and friends, and also really on the self-discovery part. We are at times in our lives right now where we're really trying to figure out who the heck are we. He just turned 27, still super young, such a great age to be, you know, in discovering who you are. He takes me through his life. Okay, we're talking about from growing up in Georgia in the South as a gay Black man to a very loving family, but also a family who kind of had to learn about him and accept him, all the way going into college and having a different persona than who he is right now, who he is trying to discover right now. And one of the most significant parts of our conversation, I think, is when he talks about authenticity, living in your most authentic self. We all can use a bit of that. Wow. I mean, Trayvon, we had such an amazing in-depth conversation, something that everyone will be able to get something out of. And so without further ado, here's Trayvon Jones. Trayvon, thank you so much for joining us on Outside of Work. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Pretty good, pretty good. As we were talking about before we started recording, we're July babies, which I think just like we're the best people in the world. That's my opinion.
We are. We actually have emotions and we can feel. Like that's, I feel like right? Our emotions, we're water signs. So when I get emotional, I get really deep in my emotions. And I feel like people look at me crazy. Like I was telling you earlier, at my birthday dinner, I got really emotional from reading my little sister's card. I could read it really quick because I have it right here. Is it okay if I read it?
Yes, please, please, please.
Yeah,
oh, I love this. Oh my goodness. Okay. How old is your little sister?
She's 12. And so, and that's the thing too, you know, my life, I have devoted my life to striving to be the best example I can be for my younger brother and sister. I don't have children. I don't really have a desire to have kids, but they're like my two lights because they're both very bright, very gifted, like truly. So the card says, happy birthday to my forever by my side guy. And so it has this this cute little thing on the front, like the two dogs together. So cute. Yeah. So you can see why I was crying. Okay, so the card says, a guy who works hard and plays that way too. a guy I can count on to know what to do, a guy with a heart as warm as his smile, a guy who will go about 10 extra miles, a guy who's as gentle and strong as can be, a guy who's the best thing of all here with me. So what she said was, and she wrote her message right here. Don't cry. So she says, happy birthday, Trey, because most people call me Trey, people that like knew me from childhood and growing up. She said, I immediately thought of a Publix gift card, LOL, because I love Publix. I always go to Publix. I always wanted to get you something that helps you stay organized because you're very organized and precise. I thought the bookmark, she got me like a notepad with the bookmark. I thought the bookmark was just a nice touch. You're the best oldest brother ever, and I love you to the farthest galaxy and back, which is, she went in detail about the galaxy and stuff here. But yeah, so yeah, that was the card. So I'm just like so emotional right now at 27. That's my tea.
Oh my gosh. And I think that just speaks volumes on how great of a big brother you are. Cause what? To write you a whole poem and just talk about how great you are, Trayvon, you doing something.
Thank you. I just love my siblings. I really pour into, and I feel like also too, this gets into another side of it. My family, there are a lot of people in my family who I don't involve myself with. I keep myself at a distance, but the ones that I really do like want to be there for, I make sure that they know, you know, and it's a reason why I keep myself at a distance from some of those family members. They have some pretty toxic traits, like, but I know that was kind of a segue we went off there, but
no, I love it. I love, because that shows who you are, and that's what this podcast is all about. It's who we are outside of our work environment and all of that. So I think that's so beautiful. And you know, maybe you can relate or not, but for me, I found that like my big epiphany for starting this podcast and also kind of looking at life differently was that, you know, like I told you before, I got laid off, and then I realized, holy crap, I've been missing so much time with my siblings, with my family, because all I've been doing is devoting it to this job and like hustling and grinding. And that's all I've known. You know what I mean? Like from college, they told me, you're going into TV and news. Guess what? You're going to miss holidays. You're going to work weekends. You're going to work long hours. So I was like, bet, soldier up. Right. And then you know, looking back 8-9 years later, I'm like, oh, that is not good. I do not like that. I've missed birthdays. I've missed track meets. I've missed, like, you know, different events. And I just don't want to do that anymore. My siblings are like, and my family, like, so paramount to my life. And I want to spend more time with them, you know? Have you ever been in that position where you're just like, I need to spend as much time as I can with these people? I mean, you got really emotional. Your siblings are so young. It's like, I need to spend as much time and see them grow, see them develop and become this person that they are.
Yes, and to your point, I feel like with what you said, I feel like with me, like I said earlier, I'm very, very intentional with who I spend my time with. Like I said, my family, there's a lot of parts to my family in terms of the people in it and the things that come along with those people. So like my siblings, I'm really intentional and I make sure that I pour into them. So I feel like with you, like you say, with our schedules, we're so busy. We came from that background of working hard. Honestly, that's all I know too. And in order to maintain what you have to work and you have to make those sacrifices. So, but I feel like the ones that, if there's true love there, they'll understand that you have to go away. Because there are people in my family who feel some type of way that I have my own life and I do my own thing. And I feel like that's a reflection of their own character too, because this gets into so much. But I think even though we have busy schedules, it is possible to make time for those that we want to make time for. Like, we don't have to make time for everybody, but I do make time for them. And like I say, I come home on like birthdays and Christmas. I'm really intentional with when I come home. It's usually like a holiday or a birthday. Yeah, it's kind of my thing.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a very good point. Those who love you will understand. And they've been very, very understanding. But I think now I've come to a point where I'm like, no more excuses. It's fine. Y'all have been so understanding. Now it's my turn to kind of like, you know, pay that back.
Yes.
And so what I love asking people when I start this podcast is, who are you? You know, in life, a lot of people are like, what do you do? What's your job? No, who are you when you take away the jobs, you take, you know, you strip away certain titles? Who is Trayvon?
Trayvon is very emotional. Trayvon is very deep, very thought-provoking. His mind can go to places that can't even be explained. Like, there's a lot that comes along with me. Like you say, we have our job, but who are we outside of that? I feel like I'm a person who is seeking out someone who can also match my energy. I'm 27 and I'm in a season where I have always been focused and stuff, but I think I'm ready to welcome another person in my life
that
can help me. And I am a part of the LGBTQIA community, proud of it, you know, say it boldly. It's been a journey getting to this space, just being this bold, but it's my responsibility to just be me. Like, I can't be anybody else other than who I am. And why am I on this earth if I can't just be me? So, yeah, that's me. Lots of things to come along with me, but I feel like I try to be authentically me as much as I can be.
Oh my
like,
God.
With all that comes with me, with my emotional side, all that kind of stuff. I know that's a long-winded answer.
Not at all. But what does being authentic mean to you, though? It seems like there's an idea of what authentic means to you in your mind, and I want to see what that is. Like, what is that?
Authentic is not being afraid to take risks. Being authentic is not being afraid to take risks. It's tied to that. And I feel like if you're authentically yourself, you're okay with showing up as who you are. You're not afraid to be you. And I say that so passionately because I live my life in a way where I've worked really hard to be bold and out loud of who I am. Because I come from a background of people who walked on eggshells. They're afraid to be themselves. Hmm. Like my father, I have to bring him up because he's a great example. He's a great man. He has been someone who has helped me and still helps me to this day. He's just that, he's that person. He's that supporter for everybody. But he struggles to take risks. You know, that's like a part of him where, you know, he's really good and he's really hardworking, but that's something that he's always struggled with. And that's why I kind of live my life in a way where I strive to take risks.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. I know it's a lot.
Well, do you think that comes from like his background, how he grew up, maybe?
For sure, that's definitely what it is. So to get deeper, so my father, just give a background. My mother and my father, so both come from two completely different backgrounds. My mother had me when she was 17, very young, and so like I said, her background. She came from a normal middle class background, but then you have my father. He comes from a family of like business owners. So they, you know, have always pretty much, they've always had, they never lacked from a financial perspective and stuff like that. But, and so that's the kind of the world that he's used to. He's used to his family having businesses. And so they have a bonding company. He's a bail bondsman. That's what he's done for years, has his bonding company. And that's the thing, like if you know him, you know the bonding company. And so that was what I grew up around and stuff like that. But he comes from a background of people who don't know how to take risks. He also comes from, he has a very controlling mother. Very controlling mother. So that, and his loyalty is to his mother. Okay. His mother basically raised him up to only be devoted to that bonding company. So, and I know for a fact that he has a lot of other things that he could have did with his life, but
if someone's like, hey, this is your legacy, this is what, you know, we're training you up to be, I can see how it's like, no, there are no other avenues. This is it.
So that's why I love him. And I always love him because he always saw from the beginning that I always had my own thing and my own path that I wanted to go down. And, you know, he always supported me and stuff like that. But once again, he always struggled to take risks because of what he came from. And so it's a lot of different things to unpack there. But I feel like that's why I want to be authentic to myself. And me being authentic to myself is living the life that I want. And in order to get to that life, I got to take risks.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh, absolutely. I'm glad that you're finding that out now at 27 and not like later on in life.
It's hard.
You know what? Actually, it's okay if you find that out later in life, but it's great that you're finding that out now and being like, get out of your comfort zone, do something, you know, they'll scare you. And who what's the worst that can happen? It either doesn't work or it does work.
And it's so crazy to say that because the truth is, I honestly started stepping out of my comfort zone at 26. And that's what I was saying today. I'm so glad I
You
started
just turned
this at
27, so in this past year, that's when you started stepping out of your comfort zone.
really, like I would say, me doing the podcast, when I really took the podcast to the next level. So we talked about it a little bit, but I started out, this is the thing. Let me go way back.
Love this.
I,
Let's go. I love
that's what
it.
this is about, a conversation. Because I'm such a like orderly person, and that's kind of how I am. So when I don't go in order, I'm kind of like, it's okay, it's fine. Yeah, so kind of going all the way back. So maybe like 2022, I had like this idea to start this brand. It was called Golden Mindset Apparel. Golden Mindset. So like thinking about like just teaching people to have a golden mindset. Your mindset is very important. How you start your day, like it's all about your mindset. If you start your day with a negative mindset, chances are your whole day is going to be negative. Start your mindset, strive to have a good mindset. It'll help your life out a lot. And I say this because I live this. I know this for a fact. So had that t-shirt brand, Golden Mindset Apparel, had that idea. And you know, it didn't really go the way that I had envisioned it. So I kind of took a pause there and, you know, took a break from it. And then maybe, you know, 2 years later, I think it was like 2024, I would say maybe beginning of 2024, that's when I was like, I want to start something, some type of brand that can allow me to just showcase me, but also inspire, motivate, uplift.
Love that.
So, you know, still didn't really know what I wanted to call it, but I said
Yeah.
I want to get me a real camera so I can start, you know, starting YouTube. I want to take it to the next level. Sure, I can use my phone, but I don't want to use my phone. I want to be legit. I want to go
Yeah,
get the
yeah.
camera.
Yeah, you want to
So,
elevate that quality a little bit.
yes. So I went to Best Buy actually, and mind you, I did a little preliminary research prior to going, but I don't know about cameras. Went there, got this camera, came home, and it was like really grainy. The quality was really grainy when I was looking at it. Did some further research and I was like, okay, this isn't the camera. So ended up taking it back, took the camera back, just ended up returning it. And then I think that maybe the following week, I went to Best Buy and got like a Sony camera. And that was when I started like really making YouTube videos and making them. And I saw like I was getting a pretty good response from my YouTube videos. Most of my videos, if you look at my stuff, all of it's falling under the same umbrella of really inspiring, motivating, like trying to teach people to chase your dreams, like just trying to be the best version. So made all those videos, did all that, did that for maybe, I think it was, I did it consistently for maybe 6 to 7 months, I don't know. But then I paused and then I said, okay, I need to take this to the next level. So I said, let me find some studios. Let's find some podcast studios. And so that was when I really took that risk, that real risk, because it's not only a risk, but a financial risk too.
Literally, it
Because you're spending this money, but you don't know what response it might
is.
get. But it's like, I know it's that faith though, because I see that it can do well. And so I don't have a problem with making that risk. So took that risk. Did the podcast, and that's when I connected with Keyshawn. That was the first time I had, you know, connected with him. And so all of this time I'm taking notes and did all this. And so I said, okay, I have this podcast thing. I did the video. I want to take the videos to the next level. And he only does a little bit of editing. And so he said, let me connect you with someone I know. And so that's how I
That's
found
how
Keyshawn.
we got together.
So it's just, that's literally the whole rundown of everything I feel like in a kind of high level way. And I love that. And that's why I say, like, I'm definitely in that season right now where I'm just kind of on a hiatus right now. But I will be coming back really soon in the next few weeks or so with, you know, a new episode and stuff like that.
Absolutely. Yeah, you too. That's a massive risk. And I love seeing people because like I've been doing TV and all, I have my light set up, I have my camera set up, you know, I have my whole situation set up. And so, because
yes.
I understand how everything works, I edit my own stuff. And so to see people like you who don't come from like that background and are like more science-based or more logical, when I see people step into this realm and try it out, I'm like, yo, good for you, because I don't even know where to start. I don't even know the first thing of like what to do, but you just being like, F it, let's try it and see what happens. And look at you now, you know, like you're
yes.
you got great quality. Like the podcast you shoot, Kashan's basement is beautiful. Like I've seen that setup and I'm like, my God.
And the thing is with him, he's yeah. trying to elevate to make it even bigger. Like that's like a start place for him, but
that's
so
what
great.
I'm saying for him too. And he doesn't come from this background either. So to see that setup, I'm like, whoa, y'all are really killing it. And it takes that
Thank
risk
you.
To be like, I see the vision. So let's just mm-hmm. go out and do it. And I think that yes. is so beautiful. Yeah. That
and
is
also
so
connecting
cool.
with other like-minded mm-hmm. people. That's where the power comes in, because who cares if you have an idea by yourself? I mean, sure you can do it, but when you connect with other people, that's
Absolutely.
How you can really take it to the next level. So
like absolutely. You start to get your tribe, you start to get your people together. I love it.
Yes.
Yeah. So you talk about, you know, living authentically yourself, and mm-hmm. it sounds like it was a bit of a journey for you. So like, let's take it back, you know, what was it like growing up in Columbus, Georgia, and then, you know, getting to where you are now? Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. So growing up, it was very challenging for me, you know, because I was always very different from a young age, very
yeah.
different. I was not like the other little boys. I didn't want to play sports. I was never like that. I was always different. And because I wasn't different, you know, my journey was different. And, you know, my parents, I don't come from a background of people who like threw me out the house or anything like that when they found out, you know, my sexuality or anything like that. But it was still challenging, like navigating through that. Like for instance, my relationship with my mother, I have a pretty solid relationship with my mother, but it hasn't always been easy, because my mother is someone who she has devoted her whole life to motherhood. That is her life. It's her three kids. And, you know, we can get into another part of that, because there's a lot to unpack there. But, you know, as a mother, she had this idea of what she wanted me to be for a long time, and I didn't meet up to that.
Especially as the eldest sibling, listen.
And it's so awful. Interesting, because it's like I say, everyone has this idea of what you should be, but when you show them that this is me and I can be me and still be successful as that, it's a hard pill for people to swallow when they see you actually walking in what they told you there was a problem or some type of defect with it, you know? But it's like, okay, like I say, our relationship, it hasn't always been easy, but it has evolved to become a good relationship. And we FaceTime a lot, we talk, we communicate. Our relationship is just one where we just want to make sure that we're both okay, and we check in with each other and stuff like that. That's where it is. She doesn't have to know all the details of my life and things like that, but we have a pretty healthy relationship. And my father too, we don't talk every day, but you know, there's love there. There will always be love there. And anytime mm-hmm. he calls me, he knows I'll be there to pick it up. Anytime he calls me, I'll be there. So that's kind of the relationship aspect with my parents.
Love that.
And like how it's been.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for that, because I know there are a lot of other gay Black men who don't have fathers to say that they can call right now.
Yeah.
Or mothers. So I'm grateful for that. Like I say, I'm a person where I understand that there is duality in life. You have your good and your bad. It's never going to be all good. It can never be. It's got to be some bad in there to keep you humble, I feel.
Listen.
But that's where it is. But that's my mom and dad. But growing up,
yeah,
you know, I was very, you know, creative, always had a creative spirit. I feel mm-hmm. like that's just something I've always had from a child. I always liked to like sing and just full of life and stuff like that. But I think that there definitely was a shift, like in ninth grade. There was a shift in ninth grade. And that's when I really started tapping into me and getting serious about my goals.
Okay.
Like, when I entered into freshman year of high school, I locked in, like, with school. Like, I was always, I did well in school, but ninth grade onward, it was different. Like, I was really locked in, like, AP classes, all honors. I always was really dedicated, but school was really important to me. And I feel like, going back to earlier when I was talking about how my dad, he always was very successful, but he struggled to take risks. I always knew from a young age that I wanted another life for myself.
You wanted something different.
And I knew that I had to put that work in order to get it. And the level of work that I was going to have to put in, it was going to have to be above average level work. It's going to have to be extra, extra. And so from a young age, I set the bar very high for myself. And I can always, people around me were looking at me crazy in a way. I can see that, like, I remember it would be like times where we would be out as a family and I would just be ready to go home so I could study. I needed to be pouring into this thing so that I could get where I needed to go. It was a deep thing for me. It was real deep.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's why I'm here at 27 living my life, because, and then at the thing is, I might have not known then what the life was going to look like.
Yeah.
But I knew I had to put some kind of work in. And so all of that is tied into taking risks and doing all that kind of stuff. So did all of that. Ninth grade onward is when it changed. And so, like, I just really tapped in. And that's not to say that I was a perfect person all the way. I mean, I had my ups and downs. We went to college, had to find myself there. That was a whole new era. In
probably
itself.
Find yourself in a different way, right? Because for you, like, for example, for myself, going to college was the first time that I wasn't one of the only Black kids in school. You know, I will look around. There'll be more kids who look like, you know, more students who look like me. I was learning more about all these different cultures and people outside of the really, really white centric neighborhoods that I'd always grown up around. You know what I mean? And like,
and that's
once,
how it was for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously? From Columbus, Georgia?
Because, see, I say Columbus, but I actually went to, I was, okay, so this is the thing, to get more specific. I was born in Columbus, but went to school. I went to different elementary schools, too, just to kind of give you an idea of, like, what my childhood looked like.
Yeah.
I went through a lot as a kid. I would say I definitely had my rebellious side as a kid, and I feel like because of the dysfunction that was present in the home and things like that, dysfunction in the home can make a child do things that they're not supposed to. And I don't want to sit here and say that I didn't know right from wrong, because in some instances I did.
Sure.
But that dysfunction present doesn't help it. It doesn't help the situation. I feel like it almost makes the chances of that child getting into anything, you decrease that if there isn't any dysfunction there.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah.
Just kind of getting into that. But yeah, as a child, like I say, Columbus, going back to the placement, born in Columbus, but I was actually lived in a city that was outside of Columbus, which is where I went to school. But my high school was white environment. Middle school was white. But like
in
I said,
the
I went
South,
to
South. God bless you.
Going to different elementary schools too. Like I started out at like a mostly Black school. So from kindergarten to maybe fourth grade, it was like a mostly Black environment. Fifth grade went to a more mixed school. It wasn't just solely white, but it was more white than before. Then seventh grade is when I moved to Harris County, Georgia, which is Confederate flag, like white. It's not super, super. It's one of those places where the racism is so underlying.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So that was my high school. That was where I went to school.
Wow.
And stuff like that. I honestly can say I've never experienced firsthand. I have experienced things with other white people.
Yeah.
But it hasn't been like something where I felt like my life was in danger. But it's definitely been like things like through conversation, things that people will say and things like that. So, yeah, that's kind of the environment from high school. And then went to college. I went to Oglethorpe University,
nice,
which is a very small liberal arts school in Atlanta. And it's very like multicultural, diverse and stuff
complete
like that.
Complete 180 from Harris County going to high school. And now you're, you know, with all this multicultural people. Oh my God.
But I think it's so good because I'm so well-rounded though, as a person. At 27, I can be well-rounded because I've been around so many different people and I've been in so many environments. I've been in the quote unquote hood ghetto environment. I've been in the whitest of the white. I done been around it. That's why I feel like we're so special. Like, I'm sure you as well, we can adapt.
We start to, you turn into a chameleon. And it's crazy too. Because I catch myself too when like, when I go from one environment to the next, like how I switch up, even just simply in the way I talk, I'm like, oh my goodness. But it's just, it's so easy. It's just like a flip. And I feel as if people like you and me, we grow up perpetually in the gray. There is no black and white. There is no this or that. We ourselves are gray and therefore have to in interact in a world that sees us in a certain way. So we just got to like, we got to switch up and change up the, you know, the way we are around certain people. So yeah, that I think we're special in that way. And not a lot of people really can understand that. So I love that you can understand this.
Oh, I can understand it truly. Yes. For real.
Wow. And so when you got to college, then that's when you say you really like started to find yourself, right?
For sure.
Oglethorpe, yeah.
And this is a whole other segue. So literally became this whole other person, truly. Like, wow. I was still myself, my core values. And honestly, I don't want to say my core values because I didn't even know what core values were at the time. Like, I wasn't that type of person. Like, at 17, 18, I wasn't able to, the way that I talk is different, like, because I've experienced much more. So, of course, you know, the way that I communicate and things are different. But I will say definitely, like, going to college definitely allowed me to find me. So, like, and the thing about my college was it was so small. Everyone knew everyone. So, not to toot my own horn, but I was, like, I was one that was, a lot of people knew of me.
Okay, but I had toot that horn, though.
A lot of people knew of me, but what I'm saying is I was still a very, like, to myself person. I had my people that I was, like, very much so always around.
Did you have a different name? I think I was, like, when I was editing one of your podcasts, they said that you went by a different name. What was that?
TJ. TJ, because my name is Trayvon Jones. So TJ was, like, my name that I was known for, and that's what I said in the podcast is I literally had lost myself with that person. Because TJ was, you know, always going out. And I feel like it's like when I was in Columbus, I wasn't able to really be me. I wasn't really able to express myself the way that I wanted to.
Yeah.
And so going off to college, like I became TJ. And like my Snapchat name, I remember it was TJ. And so that was kind of how it became like a thing. Like that's how I would introduce myself as. I would introduce myself as TJ. And I would, like, the truth is, I didn't want to say Trayvon.
Why?
Because it would remind me of where I came from. I had a hard time.
Wow.
Me saying TJ was a way for me to just completely block out everything that I had dealt with, because there was so much. I had dealt with a lot from, like I say, me moving away, I was able to become a new person. I was able to let go of all of the trauma that I had dealt with when it came to me struggling to express myself with my identity, dealing with my family members, and me being someone who was so passionate about chasing after my dreams. I come from people who don't know how to take risks.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of people in my family. They don't know. They don't even know how to, like, really have a conversation with me, to be honest.
Wow.
It's like hard because I'm the boy who became something. I'm the boy that became something, you know, I'm the one that they thought they had figured out, but I became something completely different, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's kind of how it is. So that's really, I would say the whole TJ thing. Like I was in college, became that person. And the truth is, when I graduated from college, it took me years to let go of that person. I had to, like, come to reality that you're not in college anymore. You need to become someone else. Like, who you are, you need to change. You need to evolve. And so that's why I'm Trayvon. Like, I have no issues with letting you know now.
You reclaimed it. Yeah, yeah.
I had to come back. That's why when I was telling you about how I want the videos to be edited, I didn't even know what a lower third was. I didn't know what any of these things were. This is all like new terminology for me, but I want it to be shown boldly.
Yes.
On that screen, because that's, like you say, I'm reclaiming it.
Wow. That is so fascinating. You really said, I'm TJ now. Okay. We are, this is what I'm going by. And then to have this other realization, like, you have to come into your own. Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. That is so good.
But I had to come back to myself and say, this is who you are. You need to own yourself. You don't need to let go. Own you. Your name is Trayvon because it's a reflection of all that you've overcome and all the things that you've made it out of. So yeah, that's my take on that. Yes. I know. You can tell I'm like very, when I'm talking, I think about things from many different angles. And so I just like let it come out. I try to just say it.
I love this. This is great. No, I love having conversations with people like you because you're right. Like not a lot of people can really sit down and think critically, like, why did I do that? How can I become, you know, a more into myself? Not a lot of people are really thinking about that. People are just like, this is my life. This is the track I'm going to go on. And that's what we're going to do.
Like, I truly feel like that's all I do. Like, honestly, my whole life outside of work, my life outside of work is trying to figure out why I am the way I am.
Yeah.
And the only way to do that is through going back to your beginnings. Going back to your beginnings and the people that were there during your early stages. And that's kind of where I'm at now, too, is really just diving deep into behaviors. Why do people behave the way they do? There's a reason.
Yeah.
There's a reason. And that's kind of where I'm at right now, is diving deep into figuring out why my mother and father like behave the way that they did. I'm not saying that they like abused me or did anything like that, but just, you know, saying like, why do they behave the way that they do and stuff like that. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah. Why do they do the things that they do? I love that. Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm a child of immigrants, and my parents have completely different
parenting
mindset
styles.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Mindset and just the way of living than I do. We came to the States early in the 2000s. I was like 6 or 7 years old. Yes. And now that I'm in my 30s, I just turned 31. Good Lord. Thank you.
Yes, but, you know, great. I love this eyeshadow too. It's just so great. I love
thank
it.
Thank you.
It's like real subtle. It's
right?
Subtle, but it's like, yeah. Love it. Black girl. Yes.
I always love the eyeshadows you wear too. I'm like, let's get it. And your lip gloss is always popping.
It keeps that pop. Our brown skin, it hits. Yeah.
Yes, it's gorgeous. Thank you. Thank you. But yeah, so like now in my 30s, I'm really trying to understand them. Like, my first instinct is to be mad, because it's like, you raised us, you know, in America, with American ways, and now you want us to act this, you know, other way, this other culture way that you never really even taught us. I don't get it. And so I'm trying to really come at it with empathy and understanding, because at the end of the day, they are our parents. They love us. They could have, like, thrown us away if they wanted to. They could have, like, stopped taking care of us. But also, you know, sure, you know, that's their role as parents, to take care of us, but also really seeing them as people for the first time, which is crazy to think.
That is so crazy you said that. That's literally what that sentence you just said. I literally, oh my gosh, this is so in alignment. I feel like this interview and everything is just so on point, because that's where I'm looking at. I'm like, I've looked at you as a mom for this long, but you're a person outside of that mother role. And I've never really looked at you as anything other than a mother. So it's a little bit different to like try to look at you as anything other than that. But yeah,
absolutely. And once you put it into that context, then you start to get a little bit more empathy, a little bit more understanding, especially when you think about it, like where they were at your age. Like, I'm just thinking, like, you know, your mom had you when she was 17. Mine had me when she was 21. When I was 21, I said, oh, hell no. Are you kidding me? To have a whole kid and then have like several more. And like by this time, by the time she was 31, she had all five of us. What? ain't no way. And like the sacrifices they had to make, and you know, my dad, the sacrifices he had to make leaving his family to come to the States and, you know, make sure that we didn't get deported or something. It is just insane to think about it, like in their late 20s. I can't even. And when you start putting things into context and start to understand why they do the things they do, why they do it this way, it makes it more human. You know, it might not, you know, be right, but at least you can understand why. And that's kind of where I am in my life now too. So I'm glad you're trying to understand your parents as well. It's a journey, and I think it's a lifelong journey, you know, God willing. That we get to learn more about our parents and just who they are. Like, who are you? Who the heck are you?
And the thing is too, something else that comes to mind is a place that I also got to in my mind is a person your parents or your family might not be right within themselves, because when I say within themselves, I say outside of that mother role or outside of that father role. Like, if they're not right within themselves, but they still show up for you, that also speaks volumes. That also speaks volumes for the love that they might have, that they have for you. Because they may not be right, but they still showed up for you. And I feel like it's just a lot to unpack there.
It is.
There's a lot. There's a lot of, when it comes to your family. And the dysfunction of it all and the many different parts of your family. And it can be exhausting. It can be exhausting. That's why people move away and have their own life, because your family can be so draining. And a place where I've tried to get to this week is I'm like, okay, we're just not going to think about this. Because I'm not going to lie, it's been on my mind a lot lately, because I've been trying to like really put pieces together lately. You want to get answers. You want to figure these things out sometimes. But
it's going to take some time. It's not going to happen immediately. It's going to take some time.
Yes, yes, for sure. But I feel like it's the acknowledgement piece. Acknowledging it and not just pushing it under the rug and letting it be is the first step to, you know, breaking generational curses. That's what I'm trying to get to. Yeah, breaking those curses.
Oh my goodness.
yes. It gets deep. This gets into a deeper conversation.
It really does. It really does. I'm loving this so far. I really am. So I'm gonna make kind of like a hard pivot to something a little bit lighter. You're in Atlanta right now. I love Atlanta.
You gotta come.
I've been so many times. Last time I came, when was the last time I came? Oh, I think it was 2 years ago.
We should plan a time where you should just come. We could just do fun stuff. Like,
please.
That would be so fun.
I love Atlanta because kind of like going back to what I was talking about with college and looking around and realizing I wasn't the only Black person. That's how it is in Atlanta. And I'm like, what is happening? I feel so comfortable and we're all so beautiful. And like, I just get so many style inspo, like hair inspo from everybody. I love
it. It's the place to be. I would truly say it. And to your point, I love being around my people.
Yeah.
I love being around my people and I love to see us thrive. I love to see us
thriving.
Be in luxury.
That's the thing too.
Because we deserve it. Yeah. We are a people that the world has tried to associate struggle with us and hardship. We can have luxury. We can have soft life. That can be our reality. And so, and that's another deep thing I speak passionately about too, is we deserve the best.
Yeah.
And so I like to be in spaces with other Black people, and Atlanta is a place for that.
Yeah.
And, there's a place that I went to yesterday. It's called Pont City Market. I don't know if you've heard of Pont City Market. Anybody from Atlanta, you know about Pont City Market. But if you come here, you got to go to Pont's again, because it's like a really good place for just activities. They have like a food hall, different restaurants. But
I feel like I have been there, but I'm so bad with names. I have to like see it.
But it's really, it's a fun place to go. And, you know, you'll see other Black people and it's just a beautiful thing.
What was your decision to move to Atlanta as opposed to maybe like, I don't know, anywhere else like the Northeast, which is like way more. Atlanta, too. Atlanta's kind of an outlier in Georgia, if I'm being honest with you, and in the South. But like, you know, why them moving to NYC or something, or moving to Cali or something? Why Atlanta?
So first and foremost, I went to college in Atlanta. So I started out college in 2016. So 2016 to 2020 is like I was in Atlanta. I had already gotten affiliated with the city. I had knew it, loved the city. And so after I graduated, I said, let me just continue my life on here. Because I had already been in Atlanta already from starting college. So that was kind of like the thing. And like, yeah, it just works because it's also close to my hometown. So it's not too far away. I can still be kind of close to family and stuff like that. And honestly, Cali or NYC, that was a little too far. That was I wasn't thinking that far, honestly. But it's so funny you say that because my brother, just a little brief background. My brother, he is into theater. That's his thing.
Mm-hmm. And my sister too. She's in school for theater.
Oh my God. Where'd she go?
She goes to a local school around here. It's called Centenary. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Yes. That's his thing. And so he wants to go to school for that. And he's thinking big. He's thinking like far away. Because if you're in that world, you got
to
go.
This is the area. You got to come to the Northeast. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Broadway. Like these are our people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's his thing. And so it's so crazy. It's so, I feel like there's a lot of connections between us. We can see. Like, even though
that is wild.
Same birthday month. Like, I feel like we're on the same kind of wave.
Yeah.
Like, I love that.
This new life change wave. I love this. This is great. So tell me more about like the people you surround yourself with. Tell me about your friends. And how are you really particular in choosing who is a friend?
Mm-hmm. So to be honest, my friend group is very small and it has gotten to be very small because of how particular I am and because of just things over time. Like me, I'm at this stage in my life where if you're going to be my friend, that word, people throw that word around. If you're going to be my friend, you're really my friend, which means you're going to respect me. You're going to truly respect me. And also, there won't be any jealousy or any of that kind of stuff involved. I feel like that's been the struggle with me in having solid relationships. Yes, that's been the struggle is the jealousy aspect. It
like
always
friends gets being jealous of you for something.
Mostly boiling down to that, the jealous thing.
Wow. Okay.
It that's what it always ends up being. Or, you know, I don't know. It's just, that's been my struggle with having solid friendships.
Hmm.
And I just feel like if I do have a friend, if you're going to be my friend, you need to, one, respect me.
Mm-hmm.
You need to, because I'm going to respect you. I'm going to want the best for you and things like that. It's always been, I've always wanted the best for, you know, the people I've had in my life. And I'm not going to say, I'm sure there are areas where I probably have fallen short too in certain friendships, but I do know that that's been one reason why a lot of them haven't really lasted. And I have just a very small friend group now, but I'm just really intentional with the people I have in my life. So
I love that.
Yeah.
And obviously you'll see as life keeps going, that friend group definitely does get smaller.
Keeps getting small.
Because I never really understood the reason for having so many friends or such large, like, you know, friend group. It didn't really make much sense to me if there's not the intention behind it. Because I take my friendships so seriously. I will be there for you. And, you know, vice versa. I will look out for you. I will hear you. I'll give you the tough advice. But, you know, if that can't be reciprocated or it's going to be one-sided, I just don't think it's gonna happen. And, of course, I think it's important to, like, also say that there are, like, different tiers to friendships as well. Because there's, like, people who are like, yeah, we're friends. We're casual friends. You know what I mean? And there are people who are
it's different, like, types of friends, yes.
Yeah, we're like, you're my friend. Uh-huh. Like, we are gonna be here till the end.
Yes.
And,
yes.
Yeah, and it's also fascinating to see how friendships evolve over time as well, because it's like there's this one particular friend who we were so close, like all the way through high school, you know, college, and then now as life evolves, you know, they get different values, I get different values, we go our separate ways. It's really different, but the love is still there in a way, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just, I don't know. For me, friendships before I started like dating and now I have my boyfriend who I've been with for 5 years, that was my main relationship. That for me was like, not dating, but like that for me was like so spiritual and close that like, I'm not just going to let anybody in. I'm not just going to be like, oh yeah, we besties. No, that's not happening.
Correct. And to your point too, like there people come into your life, they're in certain seasons. You have people in your life, they're in there for a specific season. Like, I know for a fact that some people in my life that were once in my life, they just needed to be there for that particular season. Like, and I know for a fact they couldn't be here right now.
Yeah.
If, like, I know now, I can truly say, like, some of those people, they couldn't be here in this space right now with me. It just wouldn't be right. It wouldn't add up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's another thing, too, is it's okay if certain relationships don't last because they just weren't meant to.
They just weren't meant to. No, that's so true. And as we kind of near the end of this podcast, I kind of wanted to ask you, what would you, I know you're only 27, but, you know, looking forward, like, what would you want your legacy to be?
I want my legacy to be one in which I have inspired many. Mm-hmm. I want people to know that you can achieve anything in life. But first, it starts with you tapping into yourself. You need to really tap into yourself and figure out what your gifts are. All right. And, you know, that can be a struggle trying to figure out what your gift is. But connect with God, pray. And if you do that, he can show you different signs. And through seeing different signs, you can discover your gift. And once you figure out what that gift is, it's your duty and your responsibility to walk in that. So in the coming years, or what I want my legacy to be, is I just want people to know that basically you can do anything. That's really what I want. Because I come from a background where people settled. And I can't settle. I can't do it. Because I literally would be doing a disservice to myself and my ancestors. So
wow,
that's how I feel, truly.
That's true. No settling here. I love it. And as you continue to look for a new boo thing, I hope you don't settle.
No, never settling. Could never. I got to be like you 5 years. That's literally so, that's worth mentioning. Like, people don't last a week in this time.
Nowadays, I know. Dating out here is ghetto. Like, it's crazy.
Like, what is it? Is it real? Like,
mm-hmm.
Yes, but thank you so much, though, for, like, even allowing me to be on your platform. I really like this because it's something that's worth having. Like, people get caught up in work, don't have a life outside of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is really great. So thank you for this.
Yes, I want to show people that we are more than our jobs, especially in America where capitalism reigns. We are more than clocking in, clocking out, figuring out, you know, what the next step is. Like, yeah, we can still do that, but also remember, life is happening and we only get one. So let's like enjoy that.
For sure.
Something that you say, and I'm sorry to stretch out a bit more, but like, and this is like the producer in me coming out. I always like think of another question, but what I find so fascinating about you, and hopefully this doesn't sound rude or anything, is just like your faith and also kind of grappling with that, you know, being part of the LGBTQ community. Like, how did those two kind of come together, if you don't mind me asking?
They come together because I know that God loves me for who I am, even though my identity doesn't meet up to the world's expectations. Mm-hmm. I know that because I've seen it with my own eyes because of what he has done in my life.
Mm.
I wasn't supposed to be what I am right now. I wasn't supposed to sit here and be able to have an interview with you and talk to you. It wasn't meant for me to do this, you know? But because of God's grace, his protection, his favor, if you look at my TikTok, that's all I talk about is God's protection, his mercy, his favor. I know that he is present because he guides me every day. He gives me the strength to be able to keep going to a job that I don't like. Truly. And it's funny, but it's real.
Yeah.
Because I know in moments when I don't want to get up every day, it's because of the strength that he gives me that I'm able to go. So I know that I have real faith. That faith is deep. And it's real. Even though I am a part of the LGBTQIA, even though the world wants me to think that God doesn't love me, I know he does. So, yeah, that's like I say it very passionately because people, if you want to throw the religion in there, I can get there with you, you know, because I know it can be kind of confusing. How can you be so you know. So yeah,
that's
I love
I
that question. I love that question. Yeah,
honestly, I always ask, especially if I have friends who are, you know, part of the LGBTQIA plus community. I'm just like, how do you tie two and two together? It doesn't make sense in my head, because me as a Catholic, you know, all I hear in church is, oh, it's bad, it's wrong, da da da. How can you go to a, you know, a religion that doesn't even see you as a person? And I think your explanation is really eye opening for me.
But my thing is, if he created us in his own image.
I know. I say this all the time. I'm
in,
like,
in his own image.
Yes.
And another thing is, being gay, this is my thing too. This is not something that you can turn on and turn off. I truly believe that this is how you're wired. This is how your brain is wired. I knew from a young age that this is me. I'm the same young boy I was when I was 3. I've just evolved. I know the feelings I felt then, and I knew that it wasn't something that I can just turn on and turn, like, no, it's that's almost like making a mockery of other gay people to say that, oh, it's just something that I want to be this today. Let me be it.
Yeah.
Like that's not how it is. And so it's how you're wired. Mm-hmm. And if it's how you're wired, that's tied into how he created you. And if he created you in his own image, then who you are, it's okay for you to be that.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
And I will say, there are some things in the media that aren't good in the gay space that don't make the world really look at gay people as the best because of certain things that are put out there. But I don't know. I just feel like what's right is what's right and what's wrong is wrong. So yeah.
Absolutely.
Long-winded,
Wow. This is, Thank you for that. I just had to ask because I'm just kind of like, no.
So have you had that question before? Like, have you asked that before to someone that you knew? What was their response?
Yeah, I asked it to a coworker that I used to work with because he is also gay and he is Catholic. I'm just like, gay and Catholic, bruh?
Wow.
And so I was like, how do you grapple with these two when all I hear in the sermons and the church is, this is bad, you need to turn from these sinful ways, da 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 da. And he says, basically what you said, the love that he gets from God and those messages are more powerful than what, you know, than all the other noise that he hears. Because for him, it's him and his relationship with God, not so much, you know, how people translate that relationship and how it should be. And
And I will say, I don't really go to church like that. Like I said, I have a very deep spiritual connection with God, but I don't go to a physical church. So I will say, I guess it could be challenging. Like, he may have his own beliefs, but to go to a church where you're hearing that too, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't be going to a church where they're saying this, but also, I don't know. It's up to you how you want to do it. I feel like everyone's different, like how they do it. But yeah, I love that question, though. Thank you.
And thank you for answering. I appreciate it. And then to kind of round this all out, I love how put together you are. When I'm watching your interviews, I don't see any notes. I don't see any like phones near you. I'm like, I have my questions right here. I'm like, let me make sure that I'm getting everything that I need to get to. How is he just going off the dome? Have you always been this organized?
Yeah, that's me. If you know me, anybody that knows me knows that's Trayvon. Like, that's how I'm wired. That's me. That's how my brain works. Yeah, that's how my brain works. Like, and it's so funny because my job is a job where I work in an analytical lab. So just to give a little background. And so I basically coordinate the lab. All the testing we do, I coordinate it, and we just onboarded 3 new people. So having to do all that and this and that. So you got to be organized in that role.
Yeah.
So I'm always in that space mentally. So it bleeds over into other areas of my life. And so,
that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
You were just on point. But I was like, he's not a Cancer. Ain't no way this man's a Cancer.
Yes, I am a Cancer. Yes. But I love that. So today, like, this isn't related. Like, what else do you have planned for the day? Like, I know this isn't in the interview, but like,
it's all good. So today I have brunch, actually. I'm getting brunch with one of my friends. And then I'm hopping on the train to go to Boston because I have to be there tomorrow to do some coverage. for like Harvard suing the Trump administration. So yeah, that's that's my.
And this isn't related, but that I just have to say, it is so cool that you like do what you do. Like, I'm sure that's like so exciting. Like, you're always, you don't know what to expect, I guess, right?
Not like, really. I love that you think that. I think I just become jaded. I think that's what it is. So I like seeing how excited other people get, and I'm like, man, I gotta go
because it's just normal to
again
you.
And man, yeah. I gotta go to Diddy court again and da 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 da. But yeah, you're right, it's I have to like remind myself like this is not normal really, and this
you're
is
like,
access
okay,
that most people
doing.
Don't really get. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting. I really never know where I'm going to be in the next week. But today I'm going to be in Boston later tonight.
Yes. But exactly. Once again, thank you so much again. And yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Trayvon. Seriously, I've loved having you on. I feel as if we're very like-minded people, very forward-thinking, deep thinkers. And mm-hmm. I just know, like, I don't know if, you know, you feel this way too, but there's just always like a conviction in me that things are going to work out. I'm impatient as hell, but things will eventually work out. And I think for you, things are so going to work out.
I believe it. And I really receive that. I thank you so much. I love to talk to other people who get me. Sometimes you feel like no one gets you, you know? But I feel like when you're meant to connect with those right people, they'll come. You
absolutely.
Know? You don't have to force it. There's no forcing it. It'll just happen naturally. So
it's happened naturally. Of course. I'm sure this is one of many conversations we're going to be having, Trayvon. So thank you so much again for coming on.
All right. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Hey there. One more thing before you go. First, thank you so much for watching and listening. You didn't have to. You could have done literally anything else with your time. So I am so appreciative. Number two, if you liked what you heard or you resonated with anything, please like, comment, subscribe. Do all the things. All the links will be in the show notes so we can continue exploring this wild, weird, wacky, and awesomely wonderful world outside of work.
I love this eyeshadow too. It's just so great. I love
it. Thank you.
It's like real subtle. It's
right?
Subtle, but it's like, yeah. Love it. Black girl. Yes.